Chapter 20. Over the past few weeks on a Sunday night, we've been looking at the subject of emptiness, and we've been looking at empty things in the Bible. And tonight, this is quite apt. This just happens to be the next empty thing in the Old Testament, and this is quite apt for what we are facing today. And what we're going to look at today in 1 Samuel 20, we find that David is on the run from King Saul. He meets up with Jonathan. Jonathan, who was the king's son, is David's best friend. And David basically asks Jonathan, "What is it that I have done wrong? Why is your father trying to kill me?" Jonathan basically asks David, "What is it that you need me to do?" So David is going to hide from the king. And instead of going to the feast and sitting at the king's table, David was going to hide himself away. And when he was absent from the royal court, if the king responded positively, then he would know that all was well. And if the king became furious, then they would understand that the king had intentions to harm David. And the two men made a pact. And it was in 1 Samuel 20, if you remember, Jonathan said, "If all is well, I'll fire the arrows, and I'll wherever you are hiding, I'll shoot them short. And then if all is not good, I'll shoot them beyond you and tell my servant to get them yonder. And that is your signal that my father is really not happy." So let's have a look at 1 Samuel 20 and see what happens at the king's table. In 1 Samuel 20 and verse 24, it says, "So David hid himself in the field. And when the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought something had befallen him. He is not clean, surely he is not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favour in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, and he said unto him, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? But as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, that he shall surely die." Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come into this place, Lord, to gather together in this way, to come around your word. And Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts as we look at the empty place that David left at Saul's table. May we too reflect on the empty seats, as it were, that we find ourselves looking at in this time of isolation and social distancing. So Father, we pray now that you would help us to understand our purpose in all of this, not necessarily to understand your will in all of this, but just to understand what it is that you would have us to do in this time of difficulty, and we'll be mindful to praise you for it. Father, we pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. So as planned, David is absent from the king's table, and we're told twice that David's seat was empty. And Saul doesn't mention anything the first day. Saul assumed that he was unclean. And to be ceremonially unclean, in accordance with Leviticus 15, you would be unclean from an oozing infection, any kind of sexual intercourse, touching a dead body, a grave, or the bones of a man. So Saul just assumes that David is ceremonially unclean. On the second day in verse 27, he noticed again that David's place was empty, and Saul said unto Jonathan, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? Jonathan simply tells Saul that David is attending family matters. And as we can see, Saul did not take the news well. In verse 30, Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. Listen to what he says to his own son. Thou son of the perverse and rebellious woman. Saul is basically saying, you know, you're a good for nothing, just like your mother. He calls his wife a perverse, rebellious woman. Perverse indicates crooked or wicked. Saul's anger is explosive. You know, a woman once said to Billy Sunday that she had a bad temper, but her anger was over in a minute. And he replied, so is a shotgun, but it blows everything to pieces. You know, one of the greatest methods of abuse in these times, in this area of the world, was to degrade a man's mother. The term son of a perverse woman carries the idea of a son of unjust rebellion. You are a rebel against your own father. Your mother will feel ashamed and disgraced at having birthed you. Saul's rage is uncontrollable. In fact, Saul goes on in verse 33 to cast a javelin at his own son. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did eat no meat the second day of the month. The anger of Saul was not only hurting Saul, but it was hurting his entire family, all because of an empty seat. And you know, it's interesting. At this moment in time, there are many empty seats, as it were, in households, all over the place. You know, normally when we go to visit, if we go and visit my mum and dad, there's, you know, Joe sits in one seat and I sit somewhere else, and, you know, mum and dad have got their seats, and at this moment in time, you know, those seats are empty. Maybe when you go and visit a family member, there's a particular seat that you sit on, or there's a particular seat that they sit on, and those seats are empty. And, you know, a time like this can cause us to be a bit angry, because we don't understand why this is going on, or what's happening. And, you know, we need to remember to give this over to the Lord. And I just want to talk about empty seats. You know, every time we come into church, I think this is the fourth Sunday that we've done this, we come into church and every pew, apart from, you know, where Joe and Eva and where Josh is, every pew is empty. And it's a reminder. It's a reminder of the fact that something is not right in our world today. It's a reminder that something is not sitting right. And it's horrible because you miss everybody. And those empty pews, those empty seats at home, that can affect our mind. But it can affect our mind in a positive way and in a negative way. You know, Saul's mind was affected negatively. Saul didn't realize what he had in a son-in-law like David. Saul didn't realize what he had in a fighter like David. Saul didn't realize what he had to have a family member like David. And that empty chair just drove Saul to despair and anger. Instead of causing Saul to reflect upon the character of David and the kindness of David and the courage of David, Saul looked at that empty chair negatively. You contrast that perhaps with Jacob. Every time Jacob looked at Joseph's empty chair, as the family sat around the table for all of those years, every time Jacob looked at that empty chair where Joseph used to sit, I'm sure Jacob was reminded of Joseph's dreams, how Jacob was reminded of the fact that Joseph was the son of the love of his life. And yet Saul's reaction is completely different. And you know, it does cause us to meditate on some of the things. You know, we miss people. You miss that human interaction. You miss that handshake and that, you know, that hug, as it were. And it does, these moments cause us to contemplate. You know, do we treat people right? We often say, you know, when we lose a loved one in death, that's the time then when we think, oh, you know, did I make the most of my time with them? Did I say the things I should have said to them? Did I say things I shouldn't have said to them? And moments like these are moments of contemplation. It affects our mind. If you remember when Peter denied the Lord, after that empty feeling, he He went away and wept bitterly. There was a contemplation that took place. And God wants us to search our hearts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, it's been a couple of weeks now and since we parted, as it were, from that Wednesday night we had in church, our last Bible study. And you wonder, you know, what were our last words to one another? You know, did we leave on a positive note or a negative note? Was there anything affecting our relationship? And these moments cause you to contemplate. Because you can't see everybody. Yes, I understand you can phone. Yes, I understand that you can FaceTime. But that's not the same. You know, we have to understand, you know, when it comes to that lack of human interaction, it can affect us. But what we need to do in this situation, again, is to contemplate the blessings that we have. You know, the blessings to be a part of a church like this. To, you know, to have a fellowship like this. And to be mindful to pray for one another. Like Sophie said in her testimony, to realize that incredible opportunity we have to pray for one another. You know, these empty pews, as it were, just is a reminder of all of those who fill them on a regular basis. You know, and it does remind us that when this lockdown is over, when this social distancing is over, when we can finally meet together, let's never take one another for granted. Let's never just assume that we'll see one another next Sunday, because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, these empty pews, these empty seats at home, they can affect our mind. But they can also affect our heart. I wonder how many people are suffering with loneliness at this time. How many people are suffering with despair. And, you know, we look at the world today and there are so many people who suffer with that silent disease of depression and despair because of loneliness. Well, guess what? Every one of us now has basically tasted what a lot of people go through every single day. You know, we might not have had the empathy for people who are isolated on a daily basis. You know, our older generation who are unable to go out, who have no family members, and they live this isolation and loneliness every single day. You know, don't underestimate what loneliness and despair can do. You know, when you feel like no one cares and, you know, and that you're worthless, it's a destroyer. David said in Psalm 142:4, I looked on my right hand and behold, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. You know, David, a man with a heart after God, David who walked with the Lord, felt the pains of loneliness. Felt the despair when the world had forsaken him, when he was on the run from Saul, when there was no one left to stand by his side. He was utterly despaired. Refuge failed him. When Elijah, you think of Elijah, that great prophet, Elijah called down fire from heaven and destroyed the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, and he gets a hint of a word from Jezebel, that Jezebel is after him, and despair gripped his heart. In 1 Kings 19, he went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree and requested for himself that he might die. And he said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my father's. Elijah, after that great victory on Mount Carmel, one word from a wicked queen, not even in person, it could have just been huge second hand. But one whisper that the queen is after him and he's in utter despair. And oftentimes, we might go through, and I don't know about you, this is just what tends to happen in our house. You know, we'll have a couple of days and everything's great, you know, we're all happy, and then suddenly, for no reason, one of us will be feeling a little bit down. You know, we've done our Bible reading, we've done our praying, we've been with the Lord, we've spent our time, we've not forsaken any of that, but you've just got that feeling of flatness. And sometimes you can question, well, should we be feeling like that as Christians? Shouldn't we have the joy of the Lord all the time? And there are times in our lives where we're a bit flat, especially in moments like these, but we're not on our own. We're in good company. There were times in David's life when he was flat. There were times in Elijah's life when he was flat. He thought he was the only one doing anything. He said he came to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of the hosts, the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away." Can I say this? Don't let emptiness and loneliness rob you of your peace and your purpose in life. You know, this whole situation hasn't caught God by surprise. And yes, there will be days where we'll be a bit flat. Yes, there will be days when we'll be down. But guess what? Encourage one another. Help one another. Pray for one another. Love one another. Text one another. Call one another. You know, if you are feeling lonely, then you can guarantee that somebody else in you, whether it's a WhatsApp group or a prayer chain or whatever it is that you've got, somebody else in that group is feeling the exact same way as you. And maybe at that time of loneliness, that could prompt you to be the bearer of good news, just to say to somebody praying for you. You know, it's incredible how those texts can come through at the exact right time. It was last week or the week before, but we were having a particularly bad day. It was just one of those days, flat, without going into any details, it was just a rough day. And it was incredible who the Lord put in our path, or who, you know, the Lord had placed us on a few people's hearts, and, you know, they dropped some stuff off to the house and called over, and it was just incredible. So be that person. You know, these times of emptiness just remind us that our heart and our head is affected. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart, and saveth such of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51:17 says, "The sacrifices of God are of a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." You know, R.A. Torrey was a great Bible teacher of past generations, and he was a founder of the Bible Institute of Los Angeles. And he and his wife went through a terrible time of heartache when their 12-year-old daughter was accidentally killed. The funeral was held on a gloomy, miserable, rainy day, and they stood around the grave and watched as the body of their little girl was put away. And as they turned away, Mrs. Torrey said, "I'm so glad that Elizabeth is with the Lord and not in that box." Even knowing this to be true, their hearts were broken. Dr. Torrey said that the next day, as he was walking down the street, the whole thing broke anew. The loneliness of the years ahead without her presence, the heartbreak of an empty house, and all the other implications of her death. He was so burdened by this that he looked to the Lord for help. He said, "And just then, this fountain, the Holy Spirit that I had in my heart, broke forth with such power as I think I had never experienced before, and it was the most joyful moment I had ever known in my life. Oh, how wonderful is the joy of the Holy Ghost. It is an unspeakable, glorious thing to have your joy, not in things about you, not even in your most dearly loved friends, but to have within you a fountain ever springing up, springing up, springing up, always springing up, 365 days in every year, springing up under all circumstances unto everlasting life. Can I say this to you? That the loneliness we face right now in this very present moment is nothing compared to the fountain of joy that the Lord can bring up in our hearts because of the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. These empty pews provokes meditation and memories. It helps us to realize what we have in our friendship with one another. It helps us to recognize what we have as a fellowship within our church. At home, it helps you to realize what you have in terms of loved ones. But these empty pews not only affect our head and our heart, it can affect our will. And these moments can leave us feeling overwhelmed. But guess what? As we saw this morning, God's delays are not a flaw in His character. Sometimes trouble and tragedy can just drown us, can leave us feeling so overawed. It can just feel like we've had the wind taken out of our sails. Sometimes we feel like we've been beaten to the ground. And sometimes we don't know what to do or what choices to make. And it's at times like these our faith is tested. Like it's never been tested before. You know, maybe we are frightened not knowing what to do next. Maybe we are frightened not knowing what choices to do. You know, it's incredible now when we actually go out for any kind of grocery shopping. It's like military planning has to take place. There's hand sanitizer everywhere. There's face masks. There's gloves to be worn. You know, everything we bring into the home is then sanitized. It's like a military operation. And moments like these can leave us frightened. But it's at these moments that our faith is tested. You know, it's like a sword that is heated and hammered in the furnace of the blacksmith. The sword might not understand why it's going through the heat. The sword might not understand why it's being pounded and pounded and pounded and pounded. But it's for the strength of the sword. The reason it has to go into the heat, the reason that it has to be tempered, is so that it can withstand the blows that it will have to face time and time and time again. And sometimes our faith is tested in the heat. Sometimes our faith is tested by the hammer blows of life. Innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. You know, there are times where we just feel completely weighed down by the situation we're in. But in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ that loved us. You know, the whole world could disappear, as it were. Everybody that we know and love could walk away from us and leave us. But the Lord Jesus Christ will not, cannot ever leave us or forsake us. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God is our refuge and strength. God is a very present help in trouble. You know, these times of emptiness, looking at these empty pews, looking at these empty chairs in our homes, can help our character, our determination, our responsibility, if you like. Saul let that empty chair defeat him. Saul let that empty chair destroy him. Saul let that empty chair allow his anger to bubble up and overflow and affect others around him. But we can use this situation that we're in right now to go forward for the Lord, to allow His grace to envelope us, to allow us, R.A. Torrey said, that fountain to bubble up inside us. And the Lord can supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. You know, these moments that we're going through are painful. These moments that we are going through are difficult. These moments that we are going through are lonely. And they're hard. And it feels like, when will it ever end? The question that people ask of me over and over and over again, will things ever get back to normal? And I don't think they will. Not for a long, long time. You know, economies change. The political spectrum changes. People change. People change their views and their opinions and their political allegiance, and sometimes they change their religious beliefs. But there's one thing that never changes. The Lord doesn't change. His word doesn't change. And we can trust Him. 100% we can trust it. As painful as these moments are, they can be used for our character to develop. They can be used for our appreciation of one another. They can be used for us to grow closer to the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Nothing that we do for the Lord is in vain. So what is it that we can do for the Lord right now in this situation? If we can't go out and be a witness outside, then what can we do? Well, we can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. We can send a text, send a message, send a Bible verse to let people know. We really miss you. And we do miss you. I even miss the people that get on my nerves. You're all wondering, oh, is that me? I miss everybody. And I can't wait to be back in church. I can't wait for our first service together. You know, these moments can be used for God's glory. Saul saw the empty chair and he was just angry because David wasn't there. And we can become angry in this situation. We can be angry because we can't go out. We can be angry because we've got to rely upon family members to run around for us. We can be angry because we can't do what we used to do. We can be angry because we can't get to school, because we can't get to work, because we can't get to the shops, because we can't get to the theatre or the cinema or the restaurant or whatever it is. And we can allow this situation to just make us angry. Or we can allow it to affect our head or our mind, our heart and our will in a positive way. To realize actually what we do have as a fellowship of believers. What we do have in our relationship with the Lord. And we can be encouraged. Even though it doesn't feel like we should be encouraged in these moments, we can. Because we are more than conquerors, and that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from that. Whether we are separated now, if we never meet again, if the Lord Jesus Christ comes back and raptures us before this event is over and we never meet together on this earth again, we can know this 100%. If you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, then there will never be a final parting of believers. And we will see one another here, there, or in the air. Not because of who we are, but because of what he's done. Not because of what we've done, but because of who he is. I'm thankful for the fact that even though these pews are empty, I will see every single face again. Because I know the faces that I'm looking at now that are pinned to these pews have trusted in Christ as their Savior. And I'll see you again. I'm thankful for the fact that even though these pews are empty, we're able to reflect on the friendship that we have with each and every one. That we're able to reflect on the love that we have for each and every one. That we're able to realize the impact that each and every person in these pews has had on our lives and on our families' lives. And we do miss you. And we do love you. And we can't wait to be gathered together in church again. But if that never happens, if the Lord returns before he allows that to happen, then we'll see you in the air. We can look at the empty seats and be discouraged. Or we can look at the empty seats and realize that God has still got this covered. And he will get us through it. And he will receive glory from it. Pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Thank you for the opportunities we have, Lord, to be able to come in this way. Thank you for the impact that every single person in this church has had on our lives. And Father, we recognize the fact that we are a blessed people. And Lord, I just pray for every single person that's listening to this message online, whether now live or later on. I just pray that it may be an encouragement to them. Maybe somebody is really struggling with loneliness at this time. Maybe this time has enabled us to have an empathy for people who struggle with loneliness every single day of their lives. Father, maybe we just get a glimpse of what it's like to suffer with some kind of depression so that we can empathize with those who suffer with it on a daily basis. And Father, I just pray that you would help us as a church to be a blessing to one another, to be a witness to a world that is walking around in utter confusion at this time. And Father, we are thankful for the fact that we serve a God who loves us and has promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And Father, I just pray that you would help us through these difficult days, and we'll praise you for it. We love you, Lord, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We close with our last hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Amen.
Wash me in his blood.
Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together tonight. Father, we pray that you would continue to keep everybody safe, Lord. We pray for Felino at this time and just ask that your hand would be upon him and the family through these difficulties, Lord. And we just pray for the test results. We pray for Steve and the family, Lord, and just ask that you would comfort them once again at a time of loss. We pray that you would be with our church family, Lord, and just ask you that your hand of blessing would be upon each one, Lord. I know that there are many struggling at this time, Lord. There are those with health issues and difficulties, Lord, that being at home brings. And we just pray that you would comfort each heart, Lord. I pray that you would just be with every single person that maybe has heard this message tonight, that it might be a source of encouragement and help to them, Lord. You know the heart of each person that's listening, and we pray that you would meet each of those needs. Father, we're thankful for the answered prayers that we've heard this week and for the way in which you've worked in people's lives, for the testimonies that we've heard, and we're just so grateful for the fact that we serve an incredible God. Father, I just pray now that you would just continue to keep every one of our congregations safe until the time that we can meet together again in church, and to just, oh, what a night or day that would be, Lord, for us to be able to praise you and worship you and thank you for all that you've done for us. So, Lord, keep us safe for this week ahead. And we just want to say that we love you and we praise you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen.